Well, if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that we're talking about witchcraft and how it serves the body of Christ, or how it counters the body of Christ would be a better way to say it, and its relationship to prophecy, which does serve the body of Christ. And of course, for every gift that God has given, which prophecy is one of the gifts that God has given, which he tells us about in Deuteronomy starting in verse 18, that he will raise up a prophet from among us, from among the countrymen like you. And God says, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he'll speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. And so we know that God has ordained prophets. He tells us that in Ephesians 4:11. He tells us that prophecy is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in Romans, the 12th chapter. And also in 1 Corinthians 12, he tells us that prophecy is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so God has given us prophecy to not only speak the truth into our life, but in some cases to foretell or be able to tell us all things yet to come, things that are in the future. Sometimes God warns us about things coming in the future. Sometimes God reveals to us things that may be coming in the future, ministry opportunities, ministry predictions, or problems or tribulations. There's all kinds of things that God can warn us of, but prophecy can also just be telling the truth or speaking the truth of the gospel and exhortation and encouragement and instruction, rebuke, and all of that which God requires of us, and also God encourages us in that way. And so for every gift that God has given us, and prophecy is certainly one of the great gifts, probably one of the main major gifts. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, but especially that you would prophesy. And so Paul held it in very high esteem. He himself was an apostle and a prophet and a teacher. And so God has given us great gifts. And for every gift that God has given us, the devil tries to counterfeit. And of course, the devil cannot create or give anything of a created nature, but he can counterfeit all of the great things of God. He can counterfeit everything that God has, and he will attempt to do so. And we saw that the magicians came in the court of Pharaoh in the Old Testament when Moses was instructed to go lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so the magicians showed up, the astrologers showed up, and they matched Moses for all of the miracles and the great and mighty works right down the line for about the first six or so mighty miracles. And so we know that they have power. We know that they are able to counterfeit and deceive and to make many people believe in their powers, and a whole cities and whole families, of course, and individual people, and even whole nations can come under the spell of witchcraft, can come under the spell of astrologers and magicians and diviners and all of these kinds of things. And so it's very possible for the whole nations to be in the grip. We've talked about Haiti here recently, because Haiti has been in the news because of the great earthquake down there, and you can find out a lot of things about Haiti if you want to do a little research. But Haiti was more or less committed to a pact with the devil back in about 1796, and a few years after that pact was made, the only successful slave revolt in the Western Hemisphere came about in Haiti, and they threw off the yoke of the French, and it was basically ruled as a black republic, the only black republic in the Western Hemisphere, and also it was ruled as a country dominated by witchcraft and voodoo and all of the bloodletting and blood sacrifice that goes with those types of things. And in, I believe it was 1994, Mr. Aristide was installed as the prime minister or president of Haiti, and he declared voodoo to be a national religion of Haiti, and declared that voodoo priests could marry people and could bury people and perform all kinds of ceremonial rites over people. And so he reinstituted the pact with the devil, re-declared that Haiti would be in a pact with the devil. And so this is the kind of history that this country has had. And it's a country that's been beset with problems of famine and plague and every kind of natural disaster that you can imagine. And so it's no wonder, we don't know God. We're not trying to play God. We're not attempting to play the sovereign God. But it's no wonder when you see a calamity strike and then you know the history of a nation and you know what they've stood for in the past and where they've placed their trust in the past. It's no wonder that these kinds of things happen and that there is great calamity that comes upon the land. And I would just invite each and every one of you, brother and sister, to read Deuteronomy 28, which is a great chapter that talks about the blessings and the curses, and not so much to point the finger at Haiti or to look down our noses in self-righteousness at Haiti, but just to be aware of the fact that God is the sovereign God and the dispenser of blessings and curses. He is the author and finisher and the perfecter of our faith, and he is the one who ultimately says what nations rise and what nations fall and what leaders rise and what leaders fall, and of course along with that what individual people rise and fall, and it all comes down to either serving him or turning our back on him and choosing to serve Satan and reaping the harvest of our choices, either to serve God, the one and only Jehovah God, the Jehovah Jireh, the Lord of provision, or to serve Satan and to reap the curses that go with that choice. Well, in Deuteronomy 18, if you have your Bibles there, we're just going to look at a couple of sentences here, and then we're going to look at an example in the Old Testament of somebody who relied on divination and necromancy, which is talking to the dead or calling up the dead. So we're going to start here in verse 11, Deuteronomy 18. Well, let's start here in 10. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who uses divination, or one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Verse 12, for whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. Verse 13, you shall be blameless before the Lord your God. And so God names several practices there, and I want to warn you again, as I have the past a couple of weeks, that if you have Harry Potter or that kind of witchcraft stuff, spell casting, talking to mediums and spiritists and bringing up spirits of the dead, or Harry Potter, any kind of witchcraft, or if you have it coming through your TV on the Disney Channel, or so much witchcraft stuff and spell casting and mediums on the Disney Channel nowadays, and I'm sure other channels that I don't know about because I don't watch TV myself. But anyway, if you have that kind of stuff coming into your home, cancel it out, get rid of it, block it off of your cable channel. Get your Harry Potter books, if you have them, out of your house, the tapes, get everything like that associated with witchcraft and divination and spell casting, because it is not innocent stuff. It is not play stuff. It will open you up to the demonic realm. If you have Ouija boards in your house, get rid of that. Do not have any kind of divination games, board games, or any other type of thing. Ouija board, just get rid of that stuff and don't give it to someone else. Get rid of it, throw it away. And it will be a blessing to you to make that choice for the Lord, and it will be a blessing to you to not have that type of stuff in your house. Well, in 1 Samuel 28, we're going to look at a situation where Saul, the king of Israel, decided he needed to received some wisdom, and he wasn't in contact with the Lord, and so he tried to call up and was successful in calling up a dead person, which in this case was Samuel. And people sometimes cite this passage of scripture of saying that God approves of necromancy or contacting the dead or using the dead spirits to give us wisdom and revelation, and that isn't what this passage of scripture shows. This is not a example of God's favor upon necromancy. This is not an example of God approving of necromancy. And I'll show you how God uses this situation to scold and rebuke Saul here in just a moment. Let's start off here in 1 Samuel 28, verse 8. Saul disguised himself by putting on other clothes and went, he and two men with him, and they came to the woman. They're talking about the woman who was the spiritist here. And he said, "Conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you." But the woman said to him, "Behold, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off those who are mediums and spiritists from the land. Why are you then laying a snare for my life to bring about my death?" And Saul vowed to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord lives, there shall be no punishment come upon you for this thing." Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And Saul said, "Bring up Samuel for me." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid, but what do you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I see a divine being coming up out of the earth." And he said, and Saul said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is wrapped about with a robe." And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage, or did homage. In verse 15, when Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am greatly distressed." And here's the key to this whole passage of Scripture. When Saul describes his mental state, his emotional state, and also his spiritual state of mind and his spiritual state of being, and he lays it all out to Samuel, whom God has allowed to come from the dead to speak the truth into the life of Saul. Here in verse 15, Samuel says to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me and answers me no more, either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called you that you may make known to me what I should do." And so Saul lays it out on the line there. He says, "God has departed from me. He answers me no more. I don't hear from the prophets. I don't hear through dreams. I don't have any visions." And brother and sister, when you get in that place in your life where God isn't talking to you and not speaking to you anymore, you better be headed for the caves, and you better be watching out, because that is not a good place to be in. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice." And so you want to hear from God. You want to hear clearly from God. And the only way you can do that is to keep the channels open and keep relating to God, and keep the channels open so that you can hear from him when he speaks to you. And so God had departed from Saul, and Samuel says here in verse 16, Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? And the Lord has done accordingly as he spoke through me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David. As you did not obey the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, so the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also give over Israel along with you into the hands of the Philistines. Therefore, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines." And so Saul fell full length upon the ground, it tells us in verse 20, and was very afraid because of the words of Samuel, and also there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food day and night. And so Saul received a word from Samuel that was a total rebuke. It was a total chastisement of what he was doing, not only that he was calling up a spirit of the dead, but also the fact that the Lord had departed from him because he had not been obedient to God. He had not been obedient to God's call on his life and God's instruction for him. And so basically, the Lord used the spirit of Samuel to speak instruction into Saul's life and basically to tell him, "You are a dead man." You are a dead man. And so that was not a very pleasant word that Saul received. It was not what he was wanting to hear. He was hoping for some kind of battle strategy or some kind of way that he could perform some kind of a great and mighty, valiant strategy to defeat the Philistines. And yet God used that situation to rebuke and chastise him and basically tell him, you're ready to come home with me, prepare your affairs, or in other words, as we would say it, get your affairs in order. And so that is exactly what happened, that Saul was killed in the battle and went home to be with the Lord immediately thereafter. And so God is serious about necromancy, about contacting spirits of the dead. He's also serious about us walking with him. And so God is serious about us dabbling in witchcraft and divination and all of these types of things that he warns about in Deuteronomy 18. Well, if we turn over to the New Testament, I'm going to close up here with a passage of scripture in Acts 16, where Paul also encountered, when he was on his evangelism tours, he encountered a young lady who was fortune-telling and had a spirit of divination, a slave girl. And in Acts 16, verse 16, it says, "And it happened that as we were going to the palace of prayer, a certain slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, 'These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation.' And she continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out of her at that very moment. And when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities." Well, of course, the people that were employing the slave girl and using her to tell fortunes and using her spirit of divination, they were very upset when Paul cast his spirit out of her. And of course, Satan uses fortune tellers. He uses astrology charts, astrologers. He uses divination and spiritists and mediums to gain great profit for those people who incorporate and utilize those types of spirits. And of course, there's whole industries built around those types of things, around astrology and around mediums and spiritists. And you go to places like Los Angeles and Las Vegas and places where there's lots of occult and lots of witchcraft, and you see many of these people making a nice living out of this deal. And yet God says this is not play stuff, and God is very serious about us keeping this kind of stuff out of our lives. And Paul was, of course, annoyed by the Spirit. The Spirit was antagonizing and antagonistic to Paul. And so Paul just turned around and said to her, "In the name of Jesus Christ, come out of you right now." And of course, Paul was operating under the authority of Jesus Christ and was able to cast that spirit out. And so that's what God wants us to do, is not only to cleanse ourselves of these spirits, but also when we have encounters with people that have these spirits, just say, "In the name of Jesus." You don't have to say it out loud. You can just kind of say it under your breath, but just say, "In the name of Jesus," when you encounter witchcraft spirits or divination spirits. "In the name of Jesus, I cast you out by the blood of Jesus. I take authority by the blood of Jesus." And brothers and sisters, keep this stuff out of your house. Keep it out of your children's hands and out of their TV programs. And all of this stuff will bless you if you just keep your house and your family cleansed of this type of stuff. And you know, God has a instruction book, and that book is the Bible. It's not to keep us from having fun in this life. It's not to keep us from enjoying our families, and not keep us from enjoying movies or television or any of these kinds of entertainment mediums. But if we do not keep this kind of stuff out of our lives, and if we just allow anything that TV puts out in front of us, or if we allow anything that is popular in the popular media or the popular press or anything, if we just allow all of that to come in unchecked, unguarded, unscrutinized, well, you're going to pay a heavy price for it, not only in your own life, but in the lives of your children and your grandchildren. So be on your guard. Be on your guard. Understand that Satan wants to take control of the media. He wants to take control of TV, and for many years he's had virtually an unchecked control of the media. And so, you know, God is raising up Christians. He's raising up Christians in the entertainment industry and movies and in TV, and God wants to take it back. He wants to take it back and bring glory to Him through these entertainment and art mediums. Well, I hope I've given you some instruction here, brothers and sisters. It'll be of value to you. I know these subjects are not, you know, the most pleasant subjects. It's a lot more fun in a Christian walk to talk about faith and hope and love and all of these things, and we'll get to plenty of that later. But I think it's important, especially in light of our culture here in America, it's especially important that we consider these subjects and keep our houses and our families cleansed of witchcraft and divination and all these other types of ways that Satan tries to come in and wreak havoc in our life. Well, I hope you've enjoyed these messages. Take it to heart. Pray about it. Be on guard. Understand that God wants to bless you. Understand that God's purpose for you is to bring blessings and glory, honor to Him through your life. And if you do that, if you pray about it each and every day, pray over your family for protection, God will protect you. He will cover you with His wings. Well, thanks for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week.